Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm due for it now.
Calling together, calling to order the meeting of the Clinton Township School District Board of Education, January 7th, 2019. It is?
7:34.
7:34. Thank you very much.
Can you hear?
Okay, thank you. Publication, in accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was originally provided through the annual public notice on February 21st, 2018. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, Hunter County Democrat, Hunter in Review, and the Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administration office, and in each Clinton Township school, and third, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the annual reorganization meeting. I'm going to go through a few requirements that are associated with this meeting. The first is that the law requires that the Board of Education reorganize and affirm the basic structure upon which it will function for the remainder of this rest of this year. The board secretary runs the meeting until the election of the board president, at which time the board president then presides over the meeting. The annual organization of the Board of Education will also note the election results in this combined statement of the results of 2018. This will memorialize the reorganization added to the minutes and note the following. The election of the following individuals was made to the Clinton Township Board of Education. Allison Grantham with 2,717 votes, a one-year unexpired term. Catherine Mary Emery with 2,906 votes, a three-year term. Regina Figueroa with 2,623 votes, a three-year term. And Catherine Rehe Mackey with 2,978 votes, a three-year term. Mr. Vito Gaglioli will administer the oath to the newly elected board members.
Come down for
podium.
Prescribed for the office
of a member of the Board of Education.
Of a member of the Board of Education.
And
that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly perform.
And justly perform.
All of the duties of that office.
All of the duties of that office.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
That's it. Welcome to the board.
We will now take a roll call vote for attendance. Mrs. Brennan, present. Mrs. Brooks, here. Ms. Emery, present. Ms. Figueroa, here. Dr. Foy?
Here.
Dr. Grantham?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Dr. Rigamaki?
Here.
Ms. Grant?
Here.
Everyone is present, as well as District Administrators Michelle Cohn, Joanne Hinkle, and also present Vito Gagliardi. All right, we will move right to requesting a motion to open the floor for nominations for the office of Board President.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Malloy. Second. I'm sorry, second. Ms. Grant? All in favor?
Aye.
All noes? Abstentions? Okay. Do we have a nomination for the Office of President?
Madam Secretary, I nominate Maria Grant for the Office of Board President.
Mr. Malloy nominates Mrs. Grant. Second?
Second.
Dr. Foy? Are there any other motions for the Office of President?
Madam Secretary?
Yes.
I nominate Catherine Weehee Mackey.
I second the motion.
I'm sorry, just a minute. It's Ms. Emery?
Yes.
And seconded?
I second.
Who's the second?
Dr. Grantham.
Dr. Grantham. Okay, so we have any other nominations for the Office of President from the Board? Okay, do we have a motion to close the floor for nominations?
I so move.
Mrs. Brooks.
Mrs. Brooks. Seconded?
Second.
Ms. Brennan. Yeses?
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Noes? Abstentions? That office, the floor is closed. And we will then call for a vote. Ms. Brennan?
Maria Grant.
Ms. Brooks?
Maria Grant.
Ms. Emery?
Catherine Weehee Mackey.
Ms. Figueroa?
Catherine Weehee Mackey.
Dr. Foy?
Maria Grant.
Ms. Grant?
Maria Grant.
Dr. Grantham?
Catherine Weehee Mackey.
Mr. Malloy?
Maria Grant.
Dr. Weehee Mackey?
Catherine Weehee Mackey.
So the results of that vote then are 5-4 in favor of Maria Grant. Be resolved, the Board of Education hereby appoints Maria Grant as Board President, and we will now take a roll call vote. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Does it need to be a motion for that?
Would it be a resolve that the Board of Education hereby approves
the recognition? That's it? Okay, so we don't need to do anything for that. Okay. That's me. And now it's all you.
Now it's all me.
I'm looking for a motion, please, to open the floor for nominations for Vice President, please.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Malloy. Second, please.
Second,
Ms. Rihamaki. The floor is open. I'm looking for nominations, please, for Board Vice President.
Madam President, I nominate Lana Brennan for Board Vice President.
Thank you.
I second. Who was the second?
Mrs. Brooks.
Are there any other nominations for Vice President of the Board of Education? Seeing none, I'm looking for a motion to close the floor, please.
Motion.
Motion, Dr. Foy, a second, please.
Second.
A second, Ms. Rehamaki.
We have to do all of them.
All in favor, please?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. You want to do the roll call then for Vice President? Okay, so the roll call vote for Lana Brennan as Vice President. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rehamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
All in favor? Motion carries. Thank you. Congratulations, Mrs. Brennan. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Clinton Township Board of Education's annual reorganization meeting. Today is Monday, January 7th, 2019. I'm looking forward to serving as the President of the Board of Education for 2019 and working with this group of very talented individuals who are volunteering their personal time to help provide the best quality education for the children of Clinton Township while being fiscally responsible to the taxpayers of our community. The members of our Board of Education hold a very diverse set of core competencies, expertise, and experiences that will help us to best support Mrs. Cohen and her administrative team and staff for the upcoming year. Mrs. Cohen, on behalf of the Board of Education, I would like to share with you our commitment and eagerness to support you and your staff throughout this year.
Thank you.
This evening, as many of you already seen, we have four new board members that will serve on the Board of Education. I would like to take a moment to congratulate each of them and introduce them. Ms. Rehamaki, to a three-year term. Ms. Rehamaki is down that end of the table. Ms. Catherine Emery, welcome. Another three-year term at the opposite end. Ms. Regina Figueroa is serving a three-year service as well on the board. And Ms. Allison Grantham is serving a one-year on the board. So welcome to you all. And I look forward, as well as everybody on the board, working with each other this year. I'd like to welcome back our returning board members. Thank you for coming back. Ms. Lana Brennan, Ms. Beth Brooks, Dr. Jeff Foy, and Mr. Kevin Malloy. So welcome back to all of you. Tonight's reorganization meeting has two main objectives. Our first objective is to reorganize the board. This is a requirement for all boards of education in the state of New Jersey to complete by law, and therefore the Clinton Township Board of Education conducts a reorganization each year in the beginning of January. The components of the reorganization are the swearing in of our newly elected board members, which has already occurred, the appointment of board officers, which as well has already occurred, and then to follow the assigning of members of our Board of Education to our functioning committees. The second part, or the second purpose or set of tasks that we'll be completing tonight or this evening will be to vote to approve the following items. First, the board's code of ethics, parameters around the Open Public Meetings Act that include 2019's meeting dates, time, place, executive session parameters, procedures pertaining to the participation at public meetings. We will look to approve the parliamentary procedures that includes Robert's rules, and that's basically how the meetings will be run and conduct ourselves. The adoption of official newspapers, where the district will post all of our meeting information. The adoption of our depositories. We'll look to authorize signatures for money market, checking, and savings accounts. We'll look to appoint a district designee for treasurer's report. to appoint representatives requesting federal and state funds. We will look to approve board policies, regulations. We'll also look to appoint positions such as our 504 officer, our homeless liaison, school safety specialist, and anti-bullying specialist. If this continues, we will look to approve school funds investor, the uniform minimums, charts accounts, tax shelter nudity companies, petty cash accounts, claims, auditor prepayment authority, our district organizational chart, the fee for copies of public documents, the adoption of our emergency management plan, the district purchasing agent, the integrated pest management coordinator, and we will look to approve the management of student records, and we'll also vote to adopt the board's policy manual. I'd like to ask Mr. Gagliardi, our board attorney, to take a moment, please, and review the code of ethics for board members at this time. Mr. Gagliardi, sir?
Thank you, Madam President. So for the members of the board, you'll see with the reorganization meeting packet a form acknowledging your receipt of the code of ethics. That form requires that you review the code, which is also memorialized in district bylaws. But to facilitate your review of the code, I'll spend a few minutes reviewing it. And for those of you who've sat through this before, I extend my apologies in advance. So the School Ethics Act was enacted in about 1991. And the original School Ethics Act covers essentially conflicts of interest. And those are the things that I think probably need the least explanation, because it's very rare for school officials to run afoul of those. Those are the ones that would prohibit you from engaging in business with the board or using your position on the board to gain financial advantages for yourself or your business or your family, taking interests adverse to the board, and that sort of thing. So those are important, but I think they're easy, and they're not typically the provisions that cause issues for board members. The section of the statute, when the statute was amended about 10 years later, 24.1, the Code of Ethics, which codified what had been the aspirational goals suggested by the School Boards Association and now made it part of state statute, are the ethical restrictions in which we find even the most well-meaning board members can run afoul. So those are the ones, and you see them memorialized in your bylaws, that have the more subtle restrictions, but they are just as meaningful and bear the same force of law as the conflict of interest ones. So those are the ones that say you will confine your board action to policy making, planning, and appraisal. That's Section C. Section G, you will hold confidential all matters pertaining to the schools. Section E, you recognize that your authority rests with the board and will make no personal promises or take private action that may compromise the board. Section F, you will refuse to surrender your independent judgment to special interests or partisan political groups. And Section J, which I think is just as important, even though it seems so innocuous, you refer all complaints to the chief administrative officer, that is the superintendent of schools. And so you'll have situations where other parents or perhaps teachers will bring issues to your concern. You're elected officials, you want to seem responsive, but according to this School Ethics Act, your appropriate response is to simply bring the matter to the school superintendent for her to address, and then have it addressed at the board level, quote, only after failure of an administrative solution. I have previously, in speaking with this board and other boards, brought various cases that come before the School Ethics Act to the attention of the board, because again, you can see how well-meaning board members occasionally run afoul of the provisions of the School Ethics Act. An example that I used a great deal with my clients over the past year involves a board member who also happened to be a parent and got involved in helping with the school play. And in spending a lot of time in the school, found herself in a situation where she was pointing out to the custodians, the back of the stage needs to be cleaned, the curtains need to be replaced, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, the school custodian through the association made an ethics complaint saying that the board member was directing this employee on how to perform his duties when the school board member is supposedly only to set policy and should not be engaged in such discussions. I am confident that individual board member slash mom slash volunteer did not get up in the morning and say, I've got to figure out a way to violate the School Ethics Act today. But they found themselves doing it and got found to be responsible for the behavior and were disciplined by the School Ethics Commission. So we typically have a lengthy session by an outside consultant, but that will take place later in the year to discuss some of these cases and some of the nuances of the law. But in the meantime, it's important that all board members, new and veteran alike, be mindful of the restrictions on a board member in their policymaking role and make sure that they confine their actions and their statements to those provided within the bounds of the School Ethics Act.
Thank you, Mr. Gagliardi.
Thank you, Madam President.
The Board of Education operates under a committee structure to accomplish the work of the board. We currently have a variety of committees: facilities, finance, policy, curriculum, personnel, negotiations. Each committee is led by a committee chairperson. Agendas are established by the committee chairperson and the superintendent. In the case of the Facilities and Finance Committee, the chair of that committee will also work with the school business administrator. If a board member has any questions involving a particular committee, they will call the chair of that particular committee. If the committee chairperson cannot answer the board member's question, then the chairperson will call the board president for an answer. Each year, the committees are established at the reorganization meeting. I have asked board members to share with me what committees they would like to serve on. In addition, I have worked with last year's committee chair people from each committee to develop a committee of members based on their skill set and experience so that we could maximize the effectiveness of each committee. The board will have the following committees during 2019. They will have a policy committee, a curriculum committee, a facilities and finance committee, a personnel committee, and a negotiations committee. Committees will meet at least once per month and as frequently as needed. Policy and the curriculum committee will meet on Wednesday nights 2 weeks prior to the monthly board meeting unless the committee chair and the superintendent believe that it is necessary to change that date or to add an additional meeting. Curriculum committee will meet at 7 p.m. and the policy committee will begin at 8:15. The facilities and finance committee will meet on Thursdays 2 weeks prior to the board meeting and more frequently during the heavier demands of the budget season. Facilities and finance committee meetings will begin at 7 p.m. Personnel meetings will begin at 8:15 on that same night. The negotiations committee will meet on an as-needed basis in order to conduct their work and participate in negotiation sessions and with their respective collective bargaining unit. All committee meetings are typically held in the conference room located in the board office. This evening at the end of the meeting, I will distribute to each of you a schedule for the next year's committee meetings. The chairperson for each committee will be provided with a set of functions and goals for their respective committees as per bylaws. On an as-needed basis, we will form a communications committee. Since Mrs. Cohn is the official spokesperson for the district, she will develop and execute a communications plan for the district. She will also review her thoughts for this plan this evening. If there is a larger project that's required, a communications committee will be created at that time. Mrs. Cohn, at this time, would you please review some of the additions you're going to add this year for communications?
Sure. Let me need that microphone.
Thank you.
Welcome. Yes, so included in the plan for our communications will be continuing our publication in the Clinton Township newsletter. And access to email will also be advertised in that newsletter. My goal is that for those that are in the community that may not have children in the district would still be able to receive communications via email as families and staff members are. And in that vein, I'd like to reach out to the township as well for possibly their email list as well. We'll be continuing to use the front page of our district website to communicate with families. Of course, our blasts that we use for important messages. I'd also like to include using the blasts out to families for the board agendas. I thought that might be a more convenient way to get that information to families and staff members. Staff policy updates will be coming out via emails, as well as a staff handbook will be coming out this year. It's just part of the overall communication plan that I would like to use moving forward.
Thank you, Mrs. Cohn. This evening, I'll also form an ad hoc committee to help provide oversight to the evaluation / feasibility of revenue-generating sources within the district. This will include any potential revenue-generating businesses, a send-receive relationship, or school consolidation. The board also has three out-of-district representative obligations where a member of our Board of Education represents our district in a larger educational board setting. These include serving on the Board of Education for Hunterdon County ESC, the Hunterdon County School Boards Association, and as a delegate to the NJSBA. The board currently has an ad hoc committee for the feasibility of closing the school. We will keep that committee open at this time. That committee will provide its last report after the 2018-19 budget cycle is complete. The committee will report the final savings achieved as a result of the reorg and provide the overall impact of the reorganization to the district. The following is a list of the board's committees for 2019. The personnel committee will consist of Beth Brooks, Kevin Malloy, Regina Figueroa, and myself. The ad hoc committee for revenue generating evaluation will be Beth Brooks, Jeff Foy, myself, and Allison Grantham. The policy committee will be Beth Brooks, Jeff Foy, Catherine Emery. The curriculum committee will be Jeff Foy, Beth Brooks, Allison Grantham. The facilities and finance committee will be led by Kevin Malloy. Lana Brennan and Catherine Rehermaki will also serve on that. I forgot to mention that Beth Brooks will serve as the chairperson for both policy and for curriculum as well. The negotiations committee, there will be Lana Brennan, Kevin Malloy, and myself. The CTAA negotiations committee will be Beth Brooks, Kevin Malloy, Lana Brennan, and myself. If anyone on the board is interested in being a delegate on either the NJSBA State Board of Ed, please let me know. In addition to the Hunterdon County School Boards Association, if you'd like to be a representative of our district there, and then the Hunterdon County ESC. Hunterdon County ESC meets twice a year to look at their budget and some of their operations. And then the Hunterdon County School Boards meets once a month, and I think the delegates meet once or twice a year as well. Annual board member training requirements. During each year, a board member serves on the Board of Education. They are required to complete a course given by the NJSBA as per the School District Accountability Act. The following mandated training programs are required. Governance 1 are for new board members, so our brand new board members sitting here this evening, I think, are attending on the 11th, 12th, and 13th of this month. The Governance 2 training, I believe Mrs. Brooks and Mrs. Brennan will be required to take that at some level or at some point this year. That course is offered in person or online. Please let me know which you prefer, and I'll make sure that you get registered for that as it fits in your schedule. Governance 3 training, Dr. Foy, I believe that you're required to take that this year. So if you just let me know if you'd like to do that in person or online, that'd be great. Governance 4, Mr. Malloy, I think you're going to have to do that as well, and let me know how you want to handle that, and I'll make sure that gets arranged as well. The Board of Education has agreed to a set of goals for the 2018-19 school year. I have a copy of those for everyone this evening. Please stop by, and I will hand that out to you. I've also put together a schedule so that we will review our progress towards the board goals, as well as our district goals, almost on a quarterly basis, so March, June, September, and December. So we'll evaluate how we are progressing to those goals. On November 19th of 2012, the Board of Education approved a set of core values to ensure that the board's business is conducted in an efficient and respectful manner. The board's core values include areas of excellence, respect, integrity, collaboration, learning, and flexibility. The Board of Education will designate a process guardian on a rotating basis for each board meeting. The process guardian will participate in the meeting and monitor the following aspects of the meeting: time, relevance of subject matter, tone of conversation, and implementation of core values. The process guardian may, at times, interrupt the speaker and refocus the direction of the meeting. These core values have served as a foundation for how the board works together in a very efficient, effective, and respectful manner. And I look forward to working under these core values during the 2019 year, as we've done since 2012. On several occasions, we've talked about strategic planning process here in the district. 5 years ago, members of the Clinton Township community, district parents, members of our administration, staff, and Board of Education worked with Gwen Thornton, our New Jersey School Board's representative, to develop our district's 5-year strategic plan. The plan was developed over a series of meetings that took place during weekday evenings and one Saturday. The strategic plan has served as the foundation for how the district has focused on delivering and improving the academic, social, emotional, and behavioral well-being of all of our students for the last 5 years. The 5-year plan will be completed during this school year, and therefore it is time for all stakeholders in our community to gather once again to provide input into the development of the next 5-year strategic plan. Tomorrow evening marks the first night of the strategic plan. It is scheduled for 7 p.m. here in the Clinton Township Middle School, and it will take place in the cafeteria. The second meeting is scheduled for Thursday, January 31st, and then the final meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, February 12th. I'd like to bring attention to the board actions item BB, which authorizes the board president to send out a monthly newsletter, as we've done over the last year, to the community to provide insight to the school district matters. I'd also like to bring attention action item 19PN143, which is seeking the approval of Joanne Hinkle to serve as the acting board secretary for the Clinton Township School District until a board secretary is appointed by the Board of Education. And I'd like to bring to everyone's attention action item 19PN144, which approves Michelle Cohn to serve as the statute representative until a business administrator is found pending further action of the Board of Education. So at this time, I'd like to move those actions item as a block motion consent. Action item BB, 19PN143, 19PN144, and action item D. Looking for a motion, please?
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Malloy. Second, please?
Second.
Second, Mrs. Brooks. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Reedy Mackey?
Yes.
Ms. Graham?
Yes. Thank you. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they'll be answered at the conclusion of the public comments section. To the extent any action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address, limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes.
There's a sign in sheet over there, too.
You can sign in on the tab.
Okay.
Thank you.
Of course.
Start with my name and address, correct? Okay, Stephanie Fletcher. My address is 31 Summit Court. Should I move back? Okay. I want to welcome the new board members along with all of our returning members. It's a new year and definitely time for a new beginning. But in order to move forward in a positive direction, we have to recognize the mistakes that were made in the past and who suffered the brunt of those mistakes, in addition to who figured out how to handle and fix those mistakes so that our students weren't impacted negatively. As always, it was our teachers. Now that we have a fresh board, sans nasty hurt feelings and an agenda full of pride and revenge, I want to remind you that our teachers have not stopped doing what we ask of them, except for the dozen or so we lost because of this contract debacle and the school closing without any input from them. I don't want to lose another dozen great teachers this summer because you can't give them what they deserve. I'm hoping I simply just didn't hear you correctly because it sounded like the negotiations committee isn't using any of the new board members when obviously the voters have spoken. It's time we listen to more than our own egos. If you didn't vote with them in mind tonight, please remember as we move forward that we go through superintendents at an overwhelmingly embarrassing rate. Let's bring the desire back to move into this community for all the families with young children. Let's recognize that once your teachers have the contract that they deserve, property values will increase, and the money the past board was so afraid wasn't there will be there. Thank you.
Want me to sign in first?
Yes, please. Okay. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Penny Perez McFadden. I'm a speech-language specialist over at the Round Valley School. And as the co-chair of the association's negotiation team, we would like to take this opportunity to welcome the new board members and look forward to developing a more positive relationship with the Board of Education. Concerns remain about the current state of negotiations, with members working 5 of the last 6 years with an expired contract. This is not a situation that we want to see continue into the next school year, and we look forward to working with the new board to reach a mutually beneficial agreement soon. The last time the board met with the association was on August 13, 2018. While the first fact-finding meeting has been scheduled for January 17th, we remain open and willing to meeting with the board at any time to further discuss and resolve our issues as expeditiously as possible. Additionally, we would like to encourage the new board members to become familiar with the issues that have prevented the board from settling a contract with the association. It is our hope that the new members will be able to take a fresh look at the issues and support a fair resolution. Thank you.
My name is Vicki Frezzalone, and I live at 10 Skyview Garden Road. I also noticed that there were no new board members on the negotiation committee, and it led me to two questions. One is, how exactly are the committee members determined? I know that Maria Grant had said she surveys them or polls them for their interest, but I wasn't clear about how they're chosen, number one. And number two, I wasn't clear as to whether there were term limits on those committees. And three, if there is a limit on the number of committees that any one board member can be a member of. And that's it.
Anyone else like to address the board this evening? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to then open the floor for first recognition of the public. Same parameters that I mentioned a moment ago for public comment section, or public comments on agenda items only pertain here as well. If you'd like to address the board, please go to the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. No, seeing none, I'll close the floor then. I mentioned a few moments ago the items that the Board of Education will be voting on as part of the mandatory reorganization this evening. So I'd like to look for a motion, please, for a block motion consent for action items letter E through AA.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Malloy. Second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Brennan. Questions? Okay, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please, Ms. Hinkle? A. Brennan?
Maria, there's a question.
Ms. Brennan?
Can I have a question?
Here. Can we do that, Mr. Gabriel?
Sure.
I'm just curious about the time frame for which we're like making this resolution. Is this for the year?
It's for the year. Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Emery? Ms. Emery?
New. Can I abstain from a vote, having not gone through all of this?
Yes,
I abstain.
Ms. Figueroa?
You can ask to come back.
Dr. Freud?
Yes.
Dr. Blanton?
No.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Leahy Mackey?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Figueroa?
Yes.
Motion passes. Our first committee, it's not really a committee report, but two action items that fall under facilities and finance. Action item 19FF156 through 19FF157, where we approve our legal counsel, Corzio, Bromberg, and Newman, at an hourly rate of $195. And then FF157, approve our architect of record, Perret Somgen, at an hourly rate of $164. So I'm looking for a motion, please, for action item 19FF156 to 19FF157.
Motion.
Mr. Malloy? Second?
Second.
Second, Dr. Freud? Ms. Brennan? Any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. About the, so the term length for the architect is defined as June 1, 2019 to June 30, 2020, but the legal services, it just says 2019/20. I'm curious what the actual term of that is.
Yeah, it means for, it's for the 2019-2020 school year, so it's the same as you see written for the architect. It's just not written out.
Can it be specified? Can we edit it to be specified? Or?
So you wanted to say 2019/20?
Well, I just feel like that they should be defined in a consistent fashion, these two terms.
The date's written out?
Yeah.
The way it is in 157?
In 157.
In order to do that, just ask for a friendly amendment.
Okay.
Yeah. Has it been? It's been moved.
It's been moved.
Yeah. So if the mover and seconder agree, then you can do that.
Do the mover and seconder agree?
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. So we have to go back and ask for another motion.
I'm wondering if the policy committee can look at whether we should be voting on this later in the year. It seems odd to be voting on the 2019-20.
It's by bylaw.
By our bylaws, but yep. Is that because of the New Jersey statute, or that's just because of our bylaws? I'm asking whether our policy committee can look at whether we should be voting on this later.
So while this is typically done at a reorganization meeting, it's not required by statute. The good news for you as far as legal counsel is concerned is that consistent with the rules of professional ethics, if regardless of the term of the contract, if five board members wanted to terminate legal counsel, you can just vote to do that. Mm-hmm. So I understand the discussion about the length of the contract, but as a matter of professional ethics, a client can fire a lawyer whenever they want.
Mm-hmm. I have two other questions. So in our bylaws, it looks like we're supposed to be also appointing an auditor, and I didn't see that in the agenda. And in previous year, that was in this part of the agenda. Likewise, there was a second legal organization in this part last year that I believe was part of the negotiations process. There was a second law firm that was specified last
year. Yes, but we don't retain that law firm anymore for negotiations.
So is there one that we will be voting on?
It's the general firm of Porzio that provides that service for us. That's correct.
Now.
If I recall, too, we did have, we interviewed auditors in the summer of 2018. We appointed a new auditing firm after an RFP process, the prior board, in the summer of 2018, which is why it's, and it was, I believe, in one year.
Which is why we don't have to do it right now.
Yes. I believe the bylaws specify it's supposed to be done today, so that's why I'm asking.
I believe the bylaws said may be done. We took care of it during the summer.
Okay.
So may be done, not a required to be done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, may we...
A roll call vote?
Yep. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
No.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Floyd?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
I'm sorry?
Dr. Grantham?
Yeah, sorry, thinking. I guess I abstain. I don't have enough information. I abstain.
Okay. Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Reed Maggi?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Thank you. Now that we've reorganized the board, this one action item comes from our curriculum committee. Action item 19, PC044 through 19, PC044. And it is the readoption of the existing curriculum in the school district for the 18-19 school year. So I'm looking for a motion, please.
Motion.
Motion, Mrs. Brooks. Second, please.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Can I offer a friendly, there's just a typo in it, a friendly revision.
It's readoption. It says readaption.
Thank you. Any other questions? Roll call.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rehimaki?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you. I'd like to open the floor to second recognition of the public. Again, the same parameters I mentioned before exist here as well. If you'd like to approach a board, ask a question, please come to the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. Okay, seeing none, we'll close the floor. We do not need an executive session this evening, so I'm looking for a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
Motion, Ms. Brennan. Second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.